Heavenly Father, we come to your word now. Lord, we just pray that it would reveal your hope, that, Lord, it would reveal just how treasured we are by you, how loved we are by you, and how you have worked out our salvation. Lord, I just pray now that you give me words to speak that come straight from you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So as I said earlier on, we begin Advent today. Advent being the time when we look to the future of Christ's coming. When, for those people from the Old Testament, Advent was the whole period they lived in, that period of waiting and longing for the Messiah to come. But for we as Christians, we live in the time where we live in the Advent, the second Advent, waiting for Christ's return, waiting for that to happen. But today, on the first Sunday of Advent, the tradition is to look at the theme of hope and to look at the patriarchs, look at the people who have gone before us in order to see the hope that they had in Christ. And this morning, I want to preach on Rahab, which might seem a bit of a random place to go. It's a bit of a random place for me to go. I was planning to preach something else again this week, and then on Saturday morning, yesterday morning even, at the prayer breakfast, when we were praying, just felt God say, Rahab, Rahab. And so I spent all of yesterday looking at this passage and looking, if you want to get your Bibles out, go to Joshua chapter 2, and that's where you'll find the story of Rahab. Now, in Matthew and Luke's Gospels, you have the genealogies of Jesus. They speak about who his ancestors were, who those people were who went before him, they went before Christ. And in Matthew's Gospel, we have this amazing point where it talks about Rahab. It talks about a woman is involved in this. It wasn't just the men. Women are important too in the genealogy of Jesus. And if we look then to Hebrews 11, there are two women particularly who are heralded in the great passage of faith in Hebrews 11, which is Sarah and Rahab. They're commended for their faith. And so I want to look at Rahab's faith. Because it says in Hebrews 11, again, in chapter, in verse 1, that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. So hope and faith link together. So the fact that she has was someone of great faith means she must have had some kind of great hope. Because faith isn't blind, faith is based upon something. It's based upon a hope. So the story of Rahab is about a woman who is living in the city walls of Jericho. And she lives in the city walls of Jericho, and it says that she's a prostitute, and she probably kept an inn. So she wasn't sort of the top-notch people living in Jericho. And Jericho was shut up, because what happened was God was preparing the Israelites to come out of the desert they'd been in for 40 years. And to bring them into the promised land. And Jericho was going to be a triumph that God was going to bring to the Israelites. Now it says that all the people in Jericho were full of fear. It says in verse 8 of chapter 2 that there was great fear. But for Rahab, she helped two spies of the Israelites to hide when the king came looking for the spies. She helped the people who were in the purpose of God. And what she said to them was, you read it in verse 11, she says, I recognize that your God, the God of heaven and earth, has given this city and this land into your hand. And she says, basically, make a covenant with me. Have mercy on me. Let your God have mercy on me because I have helped you. And because I've helped you, I believe your God can save me. Make a covenant with me that when the battle happens, you'll remember me. And you'll remember my family and will be saved and will be safe. And so the two men, the two spies of Israel, make a covenant with her saying, we will do that. That we make a covenant with you that when we come and take the city, we will promise to remember you and not harm you or any member of your family who is living in your house. But so there's one criteria to this. You must put a scarlet cord in the window of your house. Now, this kind of has reflections of putting the blood over the doorposts. at the Passover. For they have the scarlet cord in the window. And basically they say, anyone who's inside your house at the time when God gives us the city will be saved. If they're outside, it's not going to be looking too good for them. But all those who you bring into your house, those who are in your house, will be saved. But I want to look just briefly at this token of the rope of hope, I've called it this morning, this scarlet cord. Because throughout Scripture, we see whenever there's a covenant with God and a covenant between people, there's often a token or a sign which illustrates that covenant. So if we think about, for example, of Noah, the covenant that God makes with Noah is, there's a symbol and the sign for that is the rainbow. For Abraham, the token and the sign of the covenant was circumcision. For Moses on Mount Sinai, when God makes a new covenant with his people, it's the sprinkling of blood. For Jesus, it's bread and wine. And every time we come and celebrate communion, it's an act of Advent. It points us to the future hope of the covenant that we live out. It points us to the hope we have in God. But for Rahab, it was a scarlet cord in the window. And they said, put the scarlet cord in the window because then the Israelites will be able to see that you are a safe house. You are a house which is safe. It will be a symbol and a sign between us and God that your house will be saved. But it's more, I think, than just a token for the Israelites to see and for God to see. I think it's a token also for Rahab to look at and to see. Think about it. She's been told by these spies, yes, God has promised us we're going to take this land and take Jericho. You know it, everyone in Jericho knows it, and it says there's great fear in Jericho. Jericho are terrified. They've heard about how God has parted the Red Sea years before for the Israelites, and they are absolutely terrified. And amidst all of this terror and fear, God gives this hope to Rahab and says, hold on to this hope. But the thing with it was, Rahab didn't know when the Israelites were going to come. They didn't know when the Israelites were going to come and take that city, and they didn't know when God was going to do it. Because what happens is the spies go back to Joshua, they have a little chat about it all, everything seems great, but there's a few more stories that take place before they take Jericho. Joshua has to meet the angel of the Lord first. There's a few other things that take place. They have to get over the idea that when they're in the land, the manna stops. There's a few things they have to deal with first. So poor Rahab is there, having had these two spies in her house who have given her this great hope, sat there every day thinking, is it going to be today? Is it going to be tomorrow? When's it going to take place? When's it going to happen? I haven't heard anything yet. I haven't heard any reports back about where the Israelites have got to. When's it going to happen? When is this promise going to take place? And imagine being in that city, which is shut up, ready for siege, ready to be to wait as armies attack them, and all the fear that's going on. Every time she walked out of her house, all she'd hear is, it's going to be bad. It's going to be awful. It's going to be dreadful. It's all going to be disaster. Have you heard about the Israelites? Their God parted the Red Seas. Oh, we're going to die. It's going to be dreadful. And if you hear that every day, it's going to be very hard to keep your hope, isn't it? It's going to be very hard to keep focused on God. Keep focused on the promise that God gives. So here we have Rahab in this difficult place to live. And not only is the scarlet rope a symbol of her being a safe house to the Israelites and a promise before God, but every time she looks at that bit of rope, it reminds her of the hope that she has that God will save her, that God is going to do something. She puts her faith in the Israelites' God to save her. And every time she looks at that piece of rope in the window, it is a reminder to her that there's been a promise and a covenant. That no matter how bad things get outside the city or around the city, in the fear of the city, she can look at that bit of rope and remember the hope that she has been given to her. The hope of her salvation. See, one of the dangers in church is that we put our faith in faith itself. Or we put our faith in the object itself. So it's very easy, for example, for Abraham and the Jews that followed to put their faith in circumcision. Not seeing that circumcision was a picture of the faith in God. That the sign or the symbol pointed to the hope of God as opposed to that thing being the object of faith itself. So the rope wasn't magical. The rope wasn't really that important. But it was what it symbolised. It was what the sign of it meant that made it important. It's just a bit of rope. But its symbolism, it's what it stood for, gave the hope. And it's very easy in church, and we see this throughout the wide spectrum of the Christian faith. Sometimes the things that we do become the thing we put our faith in. We can put our faith in church itself. And a church has to happen in a certain way for our faith to be, to us to be settled in our faith. And saying all that church is about is pointing us towards who God is. All scripture is pointing us towards who God is. And it's about remembering who our hope is and what our hope is. The things that we do as Christians point us to that hope. They're symbols and signs of that hope. And Rahab had in her window a cord of hope. And it's a picture of the cross to come. I mean, the scarlet rope, you couldn't get a better illustration of the blood of Christ that is shed on the cross for the sake of the sins of the world. Her focus was on the scarlet cord that brought her salvation, that brought her safety, which brought her the freedom in the new thing God was doing, in the new world to come. And so for Rahab, when everything was falling around her, quite literally in the earthquake, she could look at a bit of rope and think, you know what? The whole city's collapsing around me. The whole city's falling down. And yet I have got hope. I have got faith. I can see beyond this. I can see beyond the fact that everything around me is collapsing. I still remember that God has made a promise to me to save me and to free me. And that can bring great hope. Pictures and signs of hope are really important. And Advent and Christmas and Easter are all about symbols and signs that point us back to who God is. The fact that Christ has come into this world. And not only has he come into this world once, but if he can do it once, he can do it twice. And he's going to come back. So as we come to Advent this year, as we come to this time of this, Christmas this year, don't just go, oh, I know this story. Isn't this nice? Think about the great hope that it speaks of that we have. The eternal hope of our salvation in Christ. That when everything else around us fails, when death comes knocking at our door, we have a future hope which takes us beyond the place of death into a future kingdom of glory. We are people of hope. And just like I said when I lit the candle today, let hope be like a light in the darkness. But it doesn't mean to say that the darkness then goes away. The problems and the trials don't go away just because we have hope. But it gives us something to focus on to help us see beyond our circumstances. You see, in Luke's Gospel, in chapter 21, there's a whole discourse about the signs of the end of the age. And it talks about how people will fight against each other, brothers will turn against each other, parents and children will turn against each other, and basically it's just chaos. And it all sounds pretty doom and gloom. And it kind of just saying, these things are going to happen before the end time, before I come again, these things will take place. And it's very easy to read the fact that when there's lots of wars in the world, when there's lots of earthquakes, it's a sign that Jesus is coming back tomorrow. And I don't think that's what Jesus is trying to say in that passage. I think what Jesus is trying to say is saying, you've got this hope in me. You've got this hope in who I am, but I'm going away now. Be reminded that the world is still a dark place. Wars are still going to happen. You're still going to fall out with each other. Bad stuff's just going to take place. But what makes you different from the people of this world is the fact that you can see beyond that to what God will do. He's saying, all this stuff's going to take place before I come back, because the world's going to carry on as it has been. But are you going to be a beacon of hope in the midst of that? Are you going to let the circumstance shape you, or are you going to let the hope that you have shape you? And he says, all this generation will not pass away until all these things have happened. And I don't think he's talking about Christians. I think he's talking about the people who are not in Christ. See, they will pass away. This generation will only ever see trials and tribulation. They'll only ever see despair. But for you, as people of God, you have a hope in you which goes far beyond the situations and circumstances of this world. You have a great hope. Don't be like the people of this generation who only see disaster and despair and think, oh, life is coming to an end. Remember that your life does not end, because it is based in hope. I'm just going to read the words from Luke's gospel now. So it's in chapter 21 of Luke, and it says, starting at verse 32, "Truly I tell you, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Be careful, or your hearts will be weighed down. And the drunkenness and anxieties of life, and that day will close in suddenly like a trap. For I will come on all those who are living in the face of the whole earth. Be always at watch and pray, that you may also be able to escape all that is about you and happening, and that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man." What he's saying is, don't be weighed down by all the bad things you see in this world. Don't let circumstances weigh you down, because actually you're people of hope. You're people of hope. Don't be weighed down. Don't be anxious in anxiety. And I spoke about last week, love gives us a way of overcoming difficult circumstances, because it brings God's peace. And in Philippians, we talked about last week how, do not be anxious in anything, but by everything in prayer and petition, lay your requests before God. And this morning, I want to carry that on by saying, this passage is saying, the world's going to be a messed up place. It doesn't get sorted out like that. But live in God's hope. And when you focus on the hope, it helps take off the burden of this world. He says, be careful not to get caught up in what's going on. For Rahab, how easy must it have been to get caught up in the gossip going on around the city about how disastrous the future looked. But for her, she knew a greater hope. She knew something that was else which was coming, the hope of God's salvation. Be careful not to be weighed down. And as I said last week as well, the Bible says, cast your burdens onto Jesus because he cares for you. The whole point of Christ is saying, I'm going to help you through this. And I spoke a few weeks earlier about this before, about the comforter being given. The fact that we have a comforter suggests we're going to be uncomfortable. And how we're given a comforter to allow us to overcome the situations of life. So live as people of hope. And it says, keep watching and keep praying. In other words, keep focused on the hope that is to come. Keep anticipating that God is going to come back tomorrow. Keep anticipating that the kingdom of God is going to break through at any moment, in any time. Because if you don't, it'll be very easy to get caught up in the depression and the hopelessness and the darkness of this world. Be ever watching, be ever praying, so that you can keep your focus in hope. You can keep your focus in who God is and what he will achieve and what he will conquer. So today, the first week of Advent, is about saying there's a hope that is coming. Jesus Christ, Son of God. He came into the world once, but for us, we know he's coming into the world yet again. And that should be enough to bring us a great hope. And communion and the cross and we come to worship is all a picture and a sign of what God will do. When you see signs of disaster and despair, what Jesus is saying in that passage effectively is, don't read them as disaster. Read them as a sign of how God's hope is greater. That when you see the darkness, remember there is a light. Don't let the signs cause hopelessness. Let them cause a great hope. So let us as a church be a people of hope who bring light into darkness, because we live a hope which goes beyond this world into eternity, because our God loves us and has saved us through the cross of Jesus Christ. And he sent his son into the world for our sins so that we can walk free in his love. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you that you are a God of hope. That Lord, you have given us a scarlet cord to look at. You have given us the cross of Jesus Christ. You have given us the resurrection of Jesus Christ to focus on, to be reminded that there is a hope. Lord, we share in communion signs of bread and wine, which point us to the hope that you have come, you have died, but you have risen again, and that you're coming back. And Lord, we thank you that you are a God who is coming back to sort out all the issues in this world. Lord, help us not be burdened down by anxiety, but help us keep watch and let us pray so we can keep focused on the hope that we have in you. Lord God, help us be people of light in dark places, I pray. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen.